There are several injuries that we have you covered on to help you set your lineup and help you make some waiver wire moves. Depending on when you're listening to this, this is Fantasy Pick and Roll, your exclusive basketball podcast here at CBSSports.com. It is Monday, November 9th, start of Fantasy Week 3, and lots of big name guys who are hurt, and that could potentially impact your fantasy roster going forward. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Joining me, as always, is the best in the business, Sergio Gonzalez, the best fantasy basketball writer in the world, covering North America, South America, Europe, Asia, everywhere that they could possibly talk and play fantasy basketball. There is no one better than Sergio.
Well, thank you, Jamie.
You agree?
Not so much, but
he hates when I do that. In any event, we have some injuries we need to get through, and it's not pretty for a lot of big-name players. Let's start with the two biggest ones, at least one that somebody who is owned and started in the majority of leagues, and that's Kevin Martin. Broken wrist.
Yeah.
Out six.
Fracture in the wrist.
6 to 8 weeks. Let's not get semantics. It's a broken.
A hairline fracture.
6 to 8 weeks. He is out, and that's not good.
That is not good. That's going to be good for somebody, though, and it's going to be good for Tyreek Evans, who we saw what he can do this last week. He had a couple of big games. He had 15 shots in each of the two games after Kevin Martin got hurt, and I think that's something we're going to be seeing from him in the future because they really don't have a scorer in the backcourt right now, and it's going to be Tyreek Evans. His shot attempts are going to go up. His scoring is going to go up. His assists have been good already this season. He's going to be a stud for the next couple of fantasy scoring periods.
Should he start immediately?
Immediately is risky because the Kings have two games this week, so it depends on what type of league. If you're in an average-based league, he's already a pretty good start. If you're in a cumulative format, it's a good week to step back and take a look at what the Kings are going to do this week and see what you should do going forward. You could, depending on your options, you could think about starting him, but I don't think he's at the level of, say, like a Gilbert Arenas this week, who also has two games, who you're probably still going to want to start. So, again, it depends on your format.
Would you say Beno Udrich gets a big boost?
Yeah, he gets
huge
a
huge boost.
Starting
quality guard at this point? Or just adding?
He's worth adding, and he'll be worth starting depending on matchups. Obviously, this particular week wouldn't be a good week to start him, but say the Kings have four games coming up. He's worth plugging into. He's gonna be starting, and that's going to be obviously giving him a boost in minutes, and that's going to lead to more production. We saw in the past, the last couple of years with the Kings, he can put up some decent stat lines from time to time. He's definitely worth adding. Just don't start him yet.
The other big injury, at least in terms of time going to be missed, is Tyrus Thomas, another broken forearm or broken wrist?
Forearm. He was a freak weightlifting injury. That's the second one this year. This the previous one was to the USC college football player.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So apparently be careful when you're lifting weights.
That's very true. Tyrus Thomas is out until at least December, maybe middle of December.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a month.
Yeah.
Who gets a boost there for the Bulls? And do you drop Tyrus Thomas? Because he's been a marginal sort of fantasy option, a guy that has the potential to be a breakout player. But I think in some of our standard leagues, probably not a guy you want to take up a roster spot with.
Yeah, it depends on the size of your league. If you have more than four reserve spots or if you can stash them away and on your injured reserve or something like that, he's definitely worth keeping. What he does in rebounds and blocks, and I like them as a breakout player coming into the season. I think if he gets healthy, I still like what he can do. As far as what happens in Chicago in the meantime, Taj Gibson's going to start at power forward, but the biggest boost early on, at least, has been for Joakim Noah, who had 26 points and I think 16 rebounds in the last game. And he,
last game or last two games?
No, last game.
He had 26 and 18?
26 and 16.
26 and 16.
Yeah,
wow.
He had a huge game. And he's gotten off to a good start even before this happened. He's averaging 11 points and 11 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he's going to be the one that gets the most touches. Taj Gibson had a strong preseason. He had a good game last week. It was before the Tyrus Thomas injury. I think he had 11 points and 7 rebounds, something like that. So he has upside. He only got 19 minutes in the first game he started in place of Tyrus Thomas. It could take a little bit to develop, but once he gets going, he could be worth starting. So he's worth picking up even if you're not going to start him right away.
No boost for Brad Miller?
Brad Miller is another player who could see an increase in minutes, which could lead to more production. The first game without Tyrus Thomas, it wasn't that evident. He had just 19 minutes off the bench. Minimal production. But, yeah, he's a player that could see a boost.
two guys in Detroit dealing with injuries in terms of Richard Hamilton and Tayshaun Prince, guys who have seen their fantasy value take a huge hit over the last year or so. Do you risk playing them or just sort of wait until they come back?
No, they as far as Tayshaun Prince, he could easily miss the entire week. Hamilton's missed, I think, 5 or 6 straight games, and he's not close to coming back right now. You definitely sit them both. They're going with Jonas Jerebko at small forward. He's an interesting player. He had one good game last week. Mm-hmm. For deeper leagues, he's worth a flyer. As far as what that does in the backcourt, we've talked about the boost that Rodney Stuckey's had early on.
Yes.
And also Will Bynum in larger leagues. So that's probably going to be the case for another week. I wouldn't expect them back until at the earliest late this week.
How much of a concern is Andres Biedrus' back injury?
Well, apparently Don Nelson regretted playing him on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Don Nelson strikes again, fantasy owners. he said he called on him to play a little bit too soon. He felt a little bit of pressure because of Ronnie Turiaf's injury.
Mm-hmm.
Biedrus played yesterday being Sunday, and aggravated the back injury. Now he could easily miss the next few games. It could even linger longer than that. You know how back injuries tend to linger in NBA players. I'd be a little concerned. Obviously, you're not going to want to start him this week. But as far as Turiaf, he's still hurt. They could start Mikey Moore at center. That's not too appealing. Anthony Randolph, I think, will see the biggest fantasy boost there for the upcoming week.
Speaking of back injuries, Troy Murphy is killing fantasy owners with his back problem. What's the latest with him?
He's day to day, but I would not be surprised if he missed both of the Pacers games this week. The Pacers do have just the two games, so you're going to want to play it safe there.
Is Tyler Hansbrough somebody that people can pick up?
You know what? I liked what I saw in the first game. The Pacers said they were going to limit his minutes early on. He did have a pretty good stat line, even in limited playing time.
13 points, 5 rebounds. 13 his
points,
first game,
5
Friday
rebounds.
Night.
And I think he's a workhorse. He's one of those players that does a lot of the dirty work. Coaches love him. He's going to get his minutes. He's definitely worth a pickup. Obviously, you're not going to start him right away, but he's definitely worth stashing away.
How serious is Eric Gordon's groin injury?
It's significant enough that he's probably going to miss Monday night's game. The Clippers do have a 4-game week this week, but I could see him missing 2 games. Those things tend to linger. He's too risky to start in week 3.
Does anybody get a boost with him out?
Yeah, Ricky Davis might see more minutes.
Wow.
I don't know if fantasy owners.
You heard it here first. Sergio Gonzalez.
Ricky Davis might see more minutes, but I think the player that gets the direct boost is Rasual Butler, who's going to move from the 3 to the 2. Ricky Davis will see more minutes, but I wouldn't go near him.
Are the Lakers' big men going to be okay in Andrew Bynum and Paul Gasol?
Yeah, they don't play a game until Thursday this week, which is a little peculiar, and it makes it a little bit of a headache for fantasy owners. Do you start them? Do you not? But it does sound like they're both close. They're taking these 3 extra days of rest to work on getting them back on the floor for Thursday's game. I think they both play, and now we get to start seeing how this has an impact on players like Lamar Odom and Ron Artest once they're back to full strength. There's too many mouths to feed on that team, and it's gonna have an impact on those players, I think.
If you're in a very deep league, do you pick up Josh Powell?
How deep? we're in a league that has 30 teams, and in that league, I'd pick him up. I'd pick him up in a 14-team league, sure.
Okay. The New Jersey Nets have nobody healthy.
Yeah.
When you look at the injuries that they're dealing with, obviously Devin Harris is still going to be out with the groin problem. Mm-hmm. Yee is going to continue to be out with the knee problem. Courtney Lee is dealing with the groin issue. And now Chris Douglas-Roberts has the swine flu. Does this increase the value for guys like Terrence Williams, Rafer Alston, and I know we talked about this in the last podcast, but even guys like maybe like Eduardo Nájera or some of their lesser known or just not relevant fantasy options?
I'll tell you what, yeah, it does. And we talked about this last week, and I think I refuted your suggestion of Josh Boone, and he had a good game the next time after the podcast, so I apologize to you on this podcast. Yeah, Josh Boone had a good game, and I mean, they have nobody on that team. They didn't have much to work with coming into the year, and now they're banged up with.
They dressed 8 guys in their game last week against Boston.
Their rotation the other day was an 8-guy rotation. It's pretty scary right now. Rafer Alston's he had a couple good games last week.
Better in roto or head to head because of his 3-point shooting?
Because of his 3-point shooting, things like steals and he's better in roto, but I wouldn't mind starting him in head to head this week also.
Nate Robinson deals with this. We'll just run through some of these.
Sure.
Nate Robinson with the ankle injury. He hasn't been really anything to speak of so far. Would you drop Nate Robinson?
No, I think he does too.
Stash him.
I definitely stash him away. We've seen at times with Nate Robinson, he's one of the streakiest players in the league. When he's hot, he can put up ridiculous number one type guard numbers. I mean, there were.
But are we going to see that this year?
Why not? I mean, if he gets back in there and starts getting minutes just like he got last year in the same exact system, I don't see why we won't see that at some point. I don't think Larry Hughes is going to hold up. I don't think Danilo Gallinari is an interesting option that wasn't there last year. But I just don't see Nate Robinson, when he's hot, he's one of the better players in the NBA. It's funny to say, but
I don't know if he's one of the better players in the NBA.
No, he's one of the better fantasy options. Okay.
All
right. We're talking fantasy here. But
you're not going to pick Nate Robinson in top 50 players of
no.
when you're starting a team.
No. But I'm telling you, when he's hot, he puts up those types of numbers.
Well, it's also the team he plays for that's going to allow him to put up those numbers.
But he's still on that team.
Sure. Nenad Krstić dealing with a pinky injury. Maurice Bates, unfortunately, dealing with a knee injury after playing well. These are more reserve options. Ryan Anderson dealing with an ankle injury. And Vince Carter still got this ankle problem. Is this going to linger? You know, we talked about this with his days in
New Jersey,
Toronto.
Oh, Toronto.
When he had injury problems, he dispelled those problems when he went to New Jersey, and now here we go again with an ankle injury. Is this something that's going to ruin him for an extended period?
It's already starting to linger. The ironic thing is he actually suffered this injury when he went to New Jersey. He visited with the Magic for the first time against the Nets. What I'm hearing from Vince Carter is that he thinks that at times in New Jersey he played through things like this, and the team now in Orlando is going to make him sit out because they have big goals and plans. He said, these are his words actually, he said they have big plans in Orlando and big goals in mind, so they're not going to risk him getting re-aggravating an injury like, say, Bjelica did the other day. Mm-hmm. They're not going to let him back on the floor until he's 100%, but it does sound like it's more like the team holding him back, whereas in his days in Toronto, it was more Vince Carter kind of holding back. Mm-hmm. So it's not a repeat of his days in Toronto by any means.
How significant is Tony Parker's ankle injury?
Significant enough that I wouldn't recommend starting him this week. They're calling him day-to-day, but he could easily miss a couple games this week.
George Hill, anybody worth picking up?
No, I'm not a big fan of George Hill. Anybody who's seen him play, he's not. He's just a place filler in the starting lineup.
Okay, and then just to wrap up the injuries, Mike Miller's still dealing with his shoulder problem, so keep an eye on that. All right, two interesting things that have happened off the court, not related to injuries. The first one is Allen Iverson has left the Memphis Grizzlies for, quote, personal reasons. There have been rumors that he has a family issue. There have also been rumors that he's mulling retirement, and that he's obviously unhappy with his role with the Grizzlies. What do fantasy owners do with Allen Iverson?
Yeah, keep him as far away from your starting lineup as possible. I wouldn't cut him by any means. He's obviously still talented enough that he can still contribute.
Now, unfortunately, he can't be traded until, I believe, it's December 15th.
Right. Yeah. The Grizzlies owner said he refuted the retirement rumors yesterday, saying that had he considered retirement, he thought he would have heard about it first.
Mm-hmm.
That's all rhetoric at this point. Allen Iverson... He's a player that coming into the season we were worried about in Detroit last year. He obviously didn't like the role he was in. I almost want to think that he thought going into Memphis he can just convince them that he should go back to his days.
He had the mentality that you and I have discussed about.
Right.
And my point of view is that he's better than Mike Conley.
Right. And he thinks he should be on the floor.
Yes.
Now that he realizes, man, they really aren't going to start me. Maybe he takes a step back. Who knows? Maybe there is a personal matter there. Nobody really knows. But fantasy owners are going to want to keep him reserved and just kind of hope for the best.
It would be a shame if he walked away at this point.
This is not the way you'd want to see him in his career.
Not at all. And, right. You know, I had this conversation with several people this past weekend. This Memphis team with Allen Iverson, they're not going to win many games, but they would be very fun to watch.
Yeah.
And you talk about a Grizzlies organization that is desperate for people to be in the seats.
Mm-hmm. That's why they got him. That's
agreed.
Why
and if I'm the Memphis organization, I don't think, and I know you're going to disagree with me on this,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to win a championship with Mike Conley at point guard.
I like Mike Conley.
I'm not saying I don't like Mike Conley. I think Mike Conley is a nice player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he is a franchise-leading point guard. I don't think he's that type of player. I don't think he'll ever become that type of player. I think he's one of those type of players that can be a serviceable starter when needed,
mm-hmm.
probably better suited coming off the bench. I just don't see him as a leader of a team. He just does not have that game. He does not have that personality. He's not going to scare you with his outside shot. He's a good playmaker. He's a good...
But I think he fits that team because they have so many other scorers.
Forget about this team. This team is not going anywhere. This is a collection.
Well, you're dismissing them. I mean, they do have enough that they can compete.
No, they don't.
They're not going to compete for a title.
Sergio,
but they can compete for a playoff spot.
No, they can't. They're in the Western Conference. They're the 15th best team in a team that has 15 teams. And a conference that has 15 teams.
They're better. Who's better, Houston or the Grizzlies?
Houston.
Houston's better than the Grizzlies.
Houston's better than the Grizzlies.
I respectfully disagree. But all right.
How can you disagree? Look at the records right now.
No, I know, but this is a team with a lot of loose parts.
You're
that's
looking
still
at
it.
You're looking at it from a different perspective. You're looking at it from talent. They have talent. They don't have a good team.
Well, not yet. I think
they're never going to have a good
team. They have a lot of mixed elements that haven't mixed yet, especially with Zach Randolph.
Sergio, you have guys that either A, are too young, or B, are too selfish to be winners.
Yeah.
They're not going to win. First off, tell me where they're going to play defense. Who plays defense
on
the team?
No, they don't play defense.
Okay. You have a guy in Rudy Gay that's playing for a contract. He doesn't care about anything but getting his points at this point. O.J. Mayo is still young. Mike Conley is still young, and he's inexperienced. Zach Randolph only cares about his production. And Marc Gasol, who knows where his head is at. You haven't seen Hasheem Thabeet yet at all, so he's probably not going to make a contribution. If there's anybody that plays defense, it's him. So you're looking at a team that's just a collection of cast-offs.
It is a collection.
They are not. They're
if you
not.
Give them a chance, I think they can put this together.
And do what?
And compete for a 6th, 7th, or 8th seed.
A 6th, 7th? Sergio, who was the 8th seed in the Western Conference last year?
Was it, who was the 8th seed?
I believe it was Dallas.
Yeah.
They're better than Dallas?
No. They have
Phoenix missed the playoffs last year. They're better than Phoenix?
No. But they have the elements in the West.
I may give you Sacramento. That's about the best. And Sacramento's
the worst team
just won two games in a row. One was against Utah in Utah. Tell me when Memphis is going to do that.
I think... They should be patient with the Memphis Grizzlies. I think they'll be all right. I'm not saying they're going to compete for the NBA title, but I think they'll be all right.
You're telling me, you just said it, they're going to compete for the 6th, 7th, or 8th playoff spot.
The Western Conference is always very bunched together towards the end. There was a time late last season when the top seed was like less than 10 games away from the 8th seed.
In the Western Conference? Why that is? Because everybody's good. They're not good. New Orleans missed the playoffs last year. They're better than New Orleans?
New Orleans is pretty bad right now.
Whose team would you take?
I'd take Chris Paul.
Whose team would you take?
Right now?
Yes.
Memphis. Right now.
Wow.
I would take Chris Paul over anybody on Memphis. But
wow. You put your money on the Memphis Grizzlies to make the playoffs ahead of the New Orleans Hornets?
Right now, yes.
The 1-6 Memphis Grizzlies?
Yes. Right now.
Wow. Well, either you're going to look like a real genius or you're going down with the Memphis Grizzlies. You're really saying that the Memphis Grizzlies have a chance to make the playoffs?
Yes. I think if you give them a chance, yeah. I think so. I hope that Allen Iverson stays with the team and fits into some type of role. But, yeah, I think they have enough loose parts that if the coaching staff does a good enough job of using them the right way, and I think they're doing the right thing and insisting to keep Conley as their point guard, and they want to do something with Allen Iverson. We started to see that a little bit last week. Yeah, I think they could compete for a playoff spot.
I don't think they're a playoff team in the Eastern Conference.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to give you one last chance before but take the rope away. Don't hang yourself. You sure you want to say the Memphis Grizzlies are a playoff team?
Memphis Grizzlies are a playoff team if Allen Iverson comes back. Moving on.
The Memphis Grizzlies are. All right, there you go. You heard it here first. The Memphis Grizzlies, the 1-6 Memphis Grizzlies, the team that's currently 3.5 games back from the Dallas Mavericks, the team that is a game behind the New Orleans Hornets, the aforementioned New Orleans Hornets. I'm going to give you three teams here that I would say that the Memphis Grizzlies are competing with. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors.
They're better than
to avoid finishing last in the Western Conference.
Okay, all right. This is fantasy after all. So
the Memphis Grizzlies. Yes, the Grizzlies have very good fantasy options. Zach Randolph is playing well. That is a surprise. Marc Gasol is playing well, even with the addition of Zach Randolph.
Marc Gasol is playing outstanding right now.
Yes. Rudy Gay is...
He's doing all right.
I think he's playing great.
Yeah.
The one who's struggling right now a little bit is O.J. Mayo, and I think he'll come around. The other situation that is worth monitoring is the Steven Jackson scenario, and his agent has now come out and said that he is unhappy with the way Don Nelson is coaching, the way Nelson is using his rotation. He basically is speaking for Sergio Gonzalez and saying that he
fantasy
doesn't like
owners everywhere.
The way that Nelson is running the team, and he called him out probably a little bit too harshly, I think, for a guy who is not on the team. He may or may not be speaking for Steven Jackson directly, but he said that Nelson is the winningest coach in NBA history not to have made it to the finals, and question his age, question his ability to coach. It was a very stinging comment from his agent. We'll see what happens with Steven Jackson, who, surprisingly enough, has gotten off to a decent start. You know, he's been playing well. The team stinks. You know, a lot of that, I think, has to do with the injuries and the fact that they're getting away, I think, from what they do best, which is just get up and down the court and score. But, you know, I mean, 1-4 is not a huge surprise for this collection of talent.
They're the best team in the NBA. No. I don't. It's not the first time that Don Nelson's been called out. He was actually called out by Monta Ellis' agent last year, so it's back-to-back years. I'm actually starting to hear some rumors out of Golden State from some of the writers out there saying that Don Nelson could be trying to get himself fired. And,
maybe.
Yeah, he got that 2-year extension, and now he's just trying to cash in. And he's always been the type that doesn't really care what anybody else says, and he just runs his team however he wants to run it, and this is the way he wants to run it. But thankfully, him and Steven Jackson have gotten along in the early going in the regular season.
Do you see this becoming a problem, though?
No. If what happened in the preseason, I mean, he got suspended for preseason games. He relinquished his captaincy. If that stuff didn't become a distraction, Steven Jackson, as long as he's on the floor, he's gonna produce. I mean, he's not gonna embarrass himself. I don't see this becoming a distraction.
Interesting. All right, let's run down a couple lineup things, and we'll wrap this up. Your start of the week 3 is Corey Brewer. Tell me why.
He's off to a great start, and he's actually one of those do-it-all types for fantasy owners. He doesn't get you 3-pointers, but he's getting steals. He's getting you some blocks. He's scored in double figures in just about every game this season, and I love his matchups this week. Minnesota's got 4 great matchups, including a game against those Golden State Warriors who don't play a lot of defense. I think he's becoming a little bigger part of the offense. He had 21 shots in one game last week, and Corey Brewer, he's just a player who plays good defense. He does whatever is asked of him. Now, for whatever reason, they're actually asking him to do more on the offensive end, and I think fantasy owners can benefit from that.
Your sit of the week is Lamar Odom. Tell me why.
Yeah, I'm we've been talking about these last few weeks. I'm very concerned with what happens to him once Pau Gasol gets into the mix. They're going to be healthy for the first time this season with Gasol and Bynum healthy, hopefully. Starting on Thursday. Last year, when the team was healthy at the beginning of the season, Odin averaged under 10 points and 7 rebounds. He was a bit of an inconsistent fantasy option. He was in and out of starting lineups and a bit of a headache. I don't think necessarily he'll be that bad, but you also have to remember that he was that bad, and this year you have to add Ron Artest into the mix. So there's another player who's going to take away from his touches potentially, and I just think fantasy owners should take a step back and look how that works out before they go with Lamar Odom.
Is this really the week, though, to call him a sit when both guys may not play?
No. The word from L.A. is that they should. It's more likely that they're going to play because of these extra off days. Bynum was starting to get better late last week, and Gasol was almost ready to play on Sunday, but they decided to hold him back for the extra 3 days of rest. So it does sound like they're going to play, so I think this is the week that fantasy owners can just take a step back, watch Lakers games if you get a chance on TV, not take a look at the box scores, and obviously pay attention to our reaction to it later in the week.
Your start guards are Larry Hughes, Rafer Alston, and Anthony Morrow. Your sit guards are Mike Bibby, J.R. Smith, and Raymond Felton. Why are you sitting J.R. Smith given the fact that he's coming back?
Even Coach Carl is a little worried about his conditioning. He did miss the first 7 games of the season. He's not going to start right away. He's not actually in the plans to start at all this season, but I just would rather, with the Nuggets playing 3 games this week, just let him work his way back into the rotation and start from there.
Is Raymond Felton going to turn things around?
He started to turn things around late last week, but I just don't see that breakout season that everybody's been waiting for. I just don't see that happening in Charlotte. They're just as
well. We saw glimpses of it last year, though.
Yeah, but glimpses. We didn't see it for any like prolonged stretch or anything like that.
He's a Mike Conley, dude. He's not going to turn things around and become a superstar all of a sudden.
Right. I think he's closer to Mike Conley than he is to Chris Paul. And I think at one point people thought he was going to be up there with Chris Paul. Yeah, with Charlotte's offensive scheme being as bland and as dry as it is, they're struggling to score points. I don't see big things ahead of for him this year. I still think he could be a very good number two, low end number two, high end number three guard. This particular week, I don't like his matchups.
Your start forwards are Andre Kirilenko, Thaddeus Young, and Anthony Randolph. Is Andre Kirilenko really a starting fantasy option again?
Yeah, they're using him again. He's not going to get back to the days where he had big offensive performances, at least not when Deron Williams is healthy and Mehmet Okur and Carlos Boozer. But he's getting the minutes again, and he's doing all the other little things that he's always done. He's getting you some threes, he's getting you steals, he's getting you blocks, he's getting you rebounds, and he's filling up box scores, and that's what fantasy owners can use him for in Roto or cumulative leagues.
You have Thaddeus Young as a start here. Is Elton Brand going to ever turn things around, or is he done as a starting fantasy forward?
He's not going to be Elton Brand of the LA Clippers, not in Philadelphia maybe. He could still be good. He's had some brief runs. He had a couple games late 2 weeks ago, early last week, where he had like 16, 17 points in a couple games with like 7 boards. And he could still be a player that at times can put up the types of numbers he did back in L.A. I just don't think he can do it consistently over the course of a season like he did before.
Your sit forwards are Troy Murphy, Michael Beasley, and Caron Butler. I know Butler is because of the two games. Beasley is not getting the minutes, I think, for a starting guy. And then Troy Murphy, as we talked about, with the back issue. Your starting centers are Greg Oden, Eric Dampier, and Joakim Noah. We talked about Noah with the Tyrus Thomas injury. But I'm curious about Dampier. I know he's put up some decent numbers, but are you sure he's going to keep this up now that Josh Howard is back?
Yeah, I don't think...
Because they're going to go small.
Right. Dampier's going to get his minutes. He does too much for them in terms of what he does with the rebounds and the blocks.
I don't know if I agree with you.
He doesn't get designed looks in the offense. So it's not like Josh Howard is going to be taking touches away from him.
No, but when they go to their five guys, who are going to be the five guys on the floor at the end of games or the majority of games?
Dampier is going to get 25, 30 minutes.
You think he'll still get 30 minutes with Howard, though?
Yes.
25, I can
see. Do you have the box score there from their last game?
I will pull it up. You keep talking.
Yeah. Dampier, he's not one of those players who gets design looks in the offense where you should worry about another player taking looks away from him. He scores on little dump-offs and dunks and stuff like that, which is why his field goal percentage is so high. I think he's shooting at like 64% from the field. He just kind of cleans things up, and lately he's been able to turn that into near 10 points per game. If you're relying on him to score, that's a mistake. But he can get you. He's been getting around 10 rebounds per game with over 2 blocks per game, and that's very helpful for a number two center.
All right, here's why I'm going to disagree with you.
All right.
Josh Howard's first game was Saturday against Toronto.
Okay.
He played 24 minutes.
24. So I said 25 to 30.
Dampier played 18 minutes.
Okay, 20 to 25.
He had 5 points.
20 to
6 rebounds.
20 to 25.
And 1 block. You sure it's going to continue?
Yes. Not to the level of the 16 and 10 he had last week, but I do think he's going to get enough where he can help you with the rebounds and blocks, and if he can put together a decent game offensively where he's cleaning up offensive rebounds and putting them back in, like he does from time to time, we're not looking at a breakout performance from Dampier. We're looking at, can he be a serviceable number two center? If you look at the waiver wire what fantasy owners are looking for, there aren't many options out there. So
you would start Dampier over Varejao?
This week? Yes.
I'm going to disagree with you there. You'd start him over Noah?
No, no.
Noah's better.
Noah's absolutely better.
You would start him over Oden?
No.
Oden is better.
Yes, Oden's better.
Would you start him over Channing Frye?
No.
Frye is better.
Yes, Frye is better. Would I start him over Kendrick Perkins? I would start Dampier this week. Would I start him over...
I'm disagreeing with you there, too.
Why?
Because Perkins has put up decent stats.
Yeah, but Perkins
and his role is defined.
Perkins has 3 games this week, and Dallas has 4. So you're looking you're looking at things like that.
This is going to be our bet this week.
Who
has more fantasy points in a head-to-head cumulative league?
Perkins
or Dampier.
So I'm going with Dampier.
You're going with Dampier with his 4 games, and I'm taking Perkins with his 3 games.
Absolutely.
All right. There you go. I just think with – just listen to this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Dallas's main rotation. Tell me if I'm wrong with any of these guys.
Sure.
Their main 5 guys – and I'll put them in order. Dirk, 1.
Mm-hmm.
Marion, 2.
Mm-hmm. Howard, 3.
Terry, 3.
Terry, 3.
Kidd, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Howard, 5. You only play five guys last time I checked.
Right.
Where's Dampier fit in?
You got to play big sometimes. It depends on the matchups, man.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but right. They also like to go small with Brea playing.
Sure.
They like to get Humphreys for whatever reason on the court.
Absolutely, but they still need a big man. Dirk Nowitzki.
Yes, for 18 minutes, and this is what you're going
to
get from him.
20 to 25. He'll play 20 to 25.
This is the best example you can have. It's Josh Howard's first game.
20 to 25. Well, we'll keep that in mind for the rest of the week also. It's part of the little friendly bet there.
Right.
I think he'll average between 20 and 25 minutes this week.
All right. So there you have it. That's our first bet. And then your set centers, which I would include Eric Dampier, Shaquille O'Neal, Andre Blatch, and Roy Hibbert. Blatch, I'm assuming, again, the two games.
Right.
Hibbert and also a situation with two. Now, this is interesting because Hibbert with two games, I know one's against Boston, but one's against Golden State. So you wouldn't roll him out there just with the off chance as a number two center that he could have a big game against the Warriors?
In an average league, I would. Would you start Blatch over Eric Dampier?
No, I was talking about Hibbert. But,
I'm sorry. Hibbert over Eric Dampier, 2-4.
The 2-4 when a player like Hibbert, no, I probably would stick with Dampier. So, yeah. But I think it's going to be close. I don't think Dampier is that good, and I don't think he's going to get the minutes now that Howard's
there.
When
you take a risk like that on a player with two games, you take the risk of one clunker, and you're done for the week.
Agreed. No, that's what I'm saying. With the four games, I would say it's going to be Dampier. But I think you're talking about Hibbert, and I'm not looking at it in front of me. Hibbert's probably getting in the 25 to 30-minute range,
mm-hmm.
and I think you're talking about Dampier is going to be in the 15 to 20-minute range.
Right. And
that one game against Golden State where they have no big men if Beadris doesn't play, that could be 20 and 15.
It could. What if it's not?
I'm not saying
it. You can't count on a 20 to 15.
If we were talking about an established player and a guy that has a decent offensive game with the two games, one being Roy Hibbert and one being Golden State, then if this was Mehmet Okur we're talking about here, I'd take Mehmet Okur.
4-2?
Yes. Okur versus Dampier? Yes.
4-2.
Yes.
Yeah.
I may even roll the dice with Spencer Hawes.
4-2.
Yes. With one being Golden State.
What about Shaq here as one of my sits with three games against Dampier's four?
Shaq is a lock.
Shaq in the three games.
I'm telling you.
His recent stat lines have been pretty depressing.
I'm telling you. Look at Anderson Varejão. If you want to talk about a guy, three games. You want to give me Varejão? I think I'll bet you lunch.
Varejão over. So you're subbing Varejão in for Dampier?
No.
I mean for Perkins?
I'll keep Perkins because that was the name
Wait,
you
so
threw
now
out
you're starting two players against my one?
If you want me to, I'll start two players against your one.
That's not fair.
Why?
How are you?
Both of them have to beat you. It's the same odds.
Oh, they both have to beat me.
They both have to finish better than Dampier. I'm telling you, if you give me those three, if I drafted horribly, or one of my starters were injured, and I had to start Anderson Varejão, Eric Dampier, or Kendrick Perkins,
I will take your bet.
Dampier is on my bench.
I'll take your bet. This week, this is just a 1 week thing. I think the accumulation of stats that Dampier is going to have is going to outweigh what these two start and three and some three start centers are going
to
get.
Now, to your credit, looking at the matchups, Houston, he may not play much because they don't have a big presence that they're going to need him defensively. That's the first game.
Right.
San Antonio, he's probably going to play quite a bit because they're going to use him to take up six fouls on Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan, right.
Minnesota, hit or miss, depending on how they want to defend Jefferson, who's really struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And then Detroit, they may need him there to bang bodies with Ben Wallace. So there are two games in there with maybe a third one that he could be playing extended minutes.
Right.
On the flip side, there's also a couple games in there where he may not play at all.
You're talking about the Houston game. But
The Minnesota game, and the potential Detroit game.
What if they want to slow things down against Houston and exploit their lack of size and go?
He has no offensive game.
Hey, a couple games last week, he had 16 points.
Because he's putting back stick backs on teams that don't have
He could do that all day against Houston.
He could.
All right.
But I don't think he will.
All right.
And let's keep in mind, no Josh Howard for those games.
No Josh Howard. I'm sticking with Dampier.
All right.
The whole fantasy owners do too.
I'm going to totally disagree with you, Serge. All right. In any event, you can check out Sergio's Stardom and Sit'em. You can check out his planner. His waiver wire column will be up during the week to help you set your lineups for week four and guys to pick up. You can also check out his wonderful videos with Lauren Shahadi, CBSSports.com, FantasyNews.CBSSports.com. We're getting some emails trickling in. We'll read some of them on Thursday. DM FantasyBasketball@CBS.com. That's D as in Desmond, M as in Mason, FantasyBasketball.com. No.
At
DM Fantasy Basketball. I feel like Dave Richard.
Wow.
DM Fantasy Basketball at CBS.com. DM Fantasy Basketball at CBS.com. For Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.